We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I'm really impressed with the resiliency that we're seeing here in Charlotte County. This is not anything anyone wanted to deal with. I mean, if you go back 372 hours before landfall, most of Southwest Florida was not even in the cone. And then you have a situation where you're staring down the barrel of a hurricane making landfall at 155 miles an hour. So the response here and just the way people have reacted has been very, very impressive. And we understand this is just the beginning. There's a lot more that's going to need to be done. And the state of Florida is going to be good partners with the folks here at the local level. I'm going to let the First Lady talk about relief efforts, and then we'll have Kevin Guthrie, and then Eric Szilagyi from FPNL will give an update on the power situation.
No, I just have to echo that. We are just so proud of the people of Southwest Florida, the resiliency and the courage and strength that you're exhibiting, the people here at the Emergency Operations Center, and frankly, people across the state of Florida. We just couldn't be not more proud of what you have done to support your fellow Floridians and also the people across the country. So the governor mentioned a second ago the Disaster Recovery Fund, disasterrecoveryfund.org. You can donate there. It's a 501c3. Why that's important, again, is because we can take those resources and micro-target them and get them directly to the ground as quickly and efficiently as possible. As I said this morning, and I reiterate this, we are going to cut through any red tape and bureaucracy because we know people need those funds and they need help. And so we're really committed to making sure that we do that. The other thing is you can text disaster to 20222. Those funds will obviously go to the same spot, and we'll be able to deploy those resources very quickly. But again, on behalf of the state of Florida, and the governor, myself, all the people, the first responders, the EOC, thank you to the people across the state and the country for stepping up big. We are at $1.6 million, less than 24 hours after we launched the fund. That was at 8 a.m. this morning. We are well over $2 million as of a little while ago, and I think we're going to have even more funds at the end of the day. And again, that goes directly to the great people here in Southwest Florida and all the way across the state. So God bless you.
Yeah, thanks. And you know, some of the responders, you know, who are ready, the storm has gotta go before you can really get in there because it's very hazardous. And some of these guys are coming across Alligator Alley like midnight, like literally knocking on the door of Tropical Storm to be able to get in and help people. And so you look at these USAR teams that we've had over from Miami-Dade. We want to thank them, thank the National Guard, thank the Coast Guard. They've been able to do a lot of successful missions already, and it's really been great to see everybody working together. Part of the reason that happens is because of the coordination at the state level, and that's under the direction of Kevin Guthrie, who's our Emergency Management Director, and he's going to provide an update.
All right, thank you, Governor. So I got here first thing with the governor, obviously talked to Sheriff Promo, talked to the fire chief, talked to Emergency Management Director Patrick Fuller. Obviously, everyone very thankful of the resources that have been provided. There were a couple of handful of missions that have just come up in the last couple of minutes. I'm proud to report that we are already mobilizing personnel for those missions and also providing the resources. One of those is a generator, so that has already been sourced and already being mobilized. So we hope to have that here by midnight tonight on the generator at a minimum. The mechanic for the generator that's in question, that is having some issues, is already only 30 minutes out. So I'm very, very proud of the men and women in our logistics section, specifically at the Florida Division of Emergency Management. They have been very, very flexible, and they have been very, very responsive, and far exceeding our expectations in a normal disaster like this. So to have a mechanic almost 30 minutes away when you make a request about an hour ago is just fantastic. So again, that comes from great leadership, and it starts with the governor, and I really appreciate that. Thank you, sir.
Great. Part of the preparations for this storm was to have as many resources pre-staged that could go in and help with critical infrastructure like power. And we were able to go meet with some of the linemen up in Lake City in North Florida, thank them. These are people coming from all over the country. I mean, they're coming from Louisiana, Alabama, Texas. And we had over 42,000 at landfall. I'm sure there's more in the state right now. When we were going back to Tallahassee from Lake City, you know, you saw truck after truck after truck on I-10 eastbound coming in to be able to help respond to this. And part of the reason we're able to do that is because, you know, we've got a lot of utilities that this isn't their first rodeo. They take this very seriously. They learn from past storms, and they put that knowledge to good use. And so Florida Power and Light has the biggest footprint of personnel that have been brought into the state to help get everybody back. And Eric Szilagyi is here, who's the president of FPL, and he's going to provide an update on their efforts.
Thank you, Governor. So we have deployed about 20,000 crews across the state of Florida. Just to remind you, the storm is still battering the northeast part of the state. Daytona is being hit right now. We have about 1.2 million customers who are out of power. But we have been able to restore over 700,000 customers before the storm has even left the state, and we're going to continue to work 24/7 to do so. I'm actually pleased with parts of the system that I've seen. A little bit further to the west of here is in good shape. At FPL, we did not lose one single transmission tower, so that is critical. The backbone is up and operational. We are now in the process of getting the distribution system back up and the substations that had flying debris go into them cleared out so we can get them back online. There are sections of our territory close to the beach along the Barrier Islands that will require rebuilding. There are some destructive areas that simply cannot be repaired, and they'll have to be rebuilt. Unfortunately, there are also homes and businesses that will simply not be able to safely take the power once it's ready. But the 20,000 plus men and women who are already here are staging and getting out in the field currently. They will work 24/7 until we get the lights back on. Again, as the governor said, not our first rodeo, but every storm is also different and always poses different challenges. But appreciate all the support from the state. Governor, thank you. From local law enforcement as well, the National Guard. This is a team sport and a team effort, and we're going to all work together until we get Florida back up on her feet and where we all want her to be. Thank you.
And when FPL and the other companies have crews in, the extent to which that infrastructure has remained is just critical, because, you know, it's a lot easier for them to reconnect an existing system than to have to rebuild it. So to see some of that was able to withstand is encouraging. It's also just a testament. I mean, you know, some of these folks put money into the resilience of the infrastructure, and this is like the ultimate test. I mean, you got a hurricane that's a massive hurricane coming in at 155 miles an hour, producing this type of storm surge, dumping rain, causing flooding. If you can make it through that, then you probably did it pretty good. And so this is a 24/7 effort to stabilize and to restore. And so we're going to do whatever we can to assist with that effort. And so I'm happy to take a few questions.
In our area, Sanibel Islands, Fort Myers Beach, the images are devastating. And we know that from our local agencies that there have been confirmed deaths. We don't know exactly how many. What have you heard from the local agencies about the scope of the tragedy in that sense?
Well, Sanibel is destruction. For those of you who haven't been, it's a beautiful place, really neat community, and it got hit with really biblical storm surge, and it washed away roads, it washed away structures that were not new and could withstand that. There have been a number of people that have been identified and brought off the island safely, and those efforts are ongoing, not only with the Coast Guard has been involved with that, our USAR teams, and as well as local law enforcement. I think most people have seen the images of the bridge, the causeway, going out to Sanibel, where you have destruction of that. And that's something that we obviously will rebuild, but that's not something that will happen overnight. And so most of what's being done to assist is air operations, since you can't get there on the ground. I think Kevin will probably have more boats head over there as well. But the important thing is I was able to speak to the mayor this morning, and she and her key staff did evacuate, and so they've been operating off more of the mainland in Lee County, and many people did leave Sanibel, and they did heed the call, which is good. Obviously, I think you know it's a very seasonal community. We're not quite in the high season yet, but I think she made the point, hey, it's Florida. More people want to be here year-round now, so you do have a contingent of people that stay there over the summer. So that's going to require a lot of effort to get that back. Because they took a huge, huge wall up. And it's interesting. I mean, you know, you can look in a span of like 40, 50 miles, you know, some places that got the storm surge versus some other barrier islands, you know, much less. And that's just kind of the way some of this goes. But those were really difficult images to see, especially just given that's a place that I've been able, fortunate enough to go out and have some friends and do events there in the past, and really a great part of the Southwest Florida community. But we're committed to restoring the infrastructure as needed. That is not going to be an overnight task. That is going to be something that is going to require a lot of love and care. It's going to require a lot of resources. But we're going to do it because we understand how important it is.
Piggybacking off of that, Governor, what are some of the federal and state funds available to make that happen to kind of speed this up?
Well, in terms of infrastructure, I think, I mean, Kevin can, and we also have Gracia Check from FEMA who's here. We've gotten approved for 30 days they approved us?
30 days on Category B and A at 100%.
Okay, and that's more of like the immediate...
So that's on the public assistance side, but this particular county is under an individual assistance major disaster declaration, so we will set up the disaster recovery centers. And we'll have people be able to register for that.
So that's on an individual basis. And so somebody loses their house and they may need temporary assistance, a hotel accommodation, something like that, you know, they're going to be able to do. Jimmy Petronas, who's here, our CFO, as part of those recovery centers, they're going to have insurance villages. You know, if you look at what Lee County had to deal with, these are massive, massive flood events. And so most of these people who have mortgages and they're in a flood zone probably had to have flood insurance. So they're going to have people that could help with those flood claims. You also have wind damage with the traditional homeowners insurance policy. So that's going to be important. In terms of the overall infrastructure, obviously we'll seek federal support for that. But we're also, you know, Florida, we're well positioned financially right now to get through this. I mean, we have the largest budget surplus we've ever had. We've worked very hard, of course, to keep the economy open and make this a state people wanted to be in. And so we're seeing historic reserves, even as we've continued to break records with the revenue coming in with no income tax and low taxes. They revised it in August saying, okay, Florida's getting more revenue. And then in September, we're like $300 million over what they estimated. So we have put an emphasis on infrastructure, partially because the state is growing, but we understand in a situation like this. You know, we had a bridge knocked out with Hurricane Sally because you had a barge that was left loose and it rammed in the bridge. So we were able to fix that, but it's not something that happens overnight. So to me, I think the more issue is, we'll have resources between federal and state and local, I'm pretty confident of that, but it's okay, this is an island that you're not going to be able to access by car until that is done. And so what's going to be the plan to do? And that's just going to be something we're going to consult with the local leaders at the city level and at the county level to try to figure out what the best is. But you know, when you deal with these things, you stabilize, you provide the help with people, but you want to get back to some semblance of normalcy as quickly as possible. And it's going to be harder in some areas than others, but I want to, you know, let's work on Sanibel and let's bring it back to where it was as soon as we can.
Governor, for properties that were totally wiped out, how should it be determined if flood insurance or wind coverage should be appropriate? And how was that determined during Mexico Beach?
Well, so that's kind of an age-old thing on these storms. I mean, you'll have disputes because obviously, if you have both policies and you file a flood claim, the flood is going to want you to file the wind claim. The wind is going to want you to file the flood claim. You know, what I would say is when you have surge that's 10, 14 feet, when you have 6 feet of water in somebody's home, to me, that's a flood claim. And it doesn't mean that they may not have also suffered wind damage, because as we know, it was a really significant thing. But you don't, wind alone is not going to cause the 6 feet of water. I mean, that's a flood event. And it's not just in the barrier islands, which of course had a lot. You know, you go in some of the places in Lee County, you know, that are close to the river and some of these inlets, you had massive, massive rising waters. And so that's just something we do. I mean, that's what was happening with some of the folks who did not do the evacuation. They were hunkering down, and their homes, I think, were totally fine to handle even a really strong wind event. The problem is, if the water is rising, you're in your living room, it's a foot, 2 feet, 3 feet, you know, they're the ones that were calling saying, hey, this is a big problem, and of course it is. So I think at the end of the day, in Lee County, I think most of the claims are going to be flood claims. I think in Charlotte, maybe the mix will be a little bit different, because I did see, you know, some wind damage, and I think that those claims would be appropriate. But clearly, you know, when you're in those flood areas and you have the water rising like that into your living room, that is a flood.
Governor, speaking to people today about the insurance, you know, they worry, you know, sometimes, you know, the insurance companies will shuffle their feet on a normal stance, on a normal situation. Now we have this where everyone's going to be flooding the insurance companies. What's your message to those people who might be worried that the insurance companies might not be acting fast enough?
Well, Jimmy, where's Jimmy at? Yeah, so, and I'll let him say, but, you know, part of the disaster recovery are these insurance villages. He's done a great job of leading. He's getting the carriers all together. You know, they're going to have a footprint in all these affected counties. People are going to be able to go, and they're going to file claims. There's already been things done with our insurance regulation agency. You know, go back 10 days, none of those cancellations are valid, and you can't cancel going forward for another couple of months. So there's already actions being taken, but I'll let Jimmy come up and do that. And look, at the end of the day, we've had a lot of issues with property insurance, but a lot of that is because of lawsuits and a lot of things that don't focus on the core business. This is the core business of paying these claims, and we understand the time is of the essence.
Thanks, Governor.
Yep.
So we've got a preliminary site set up. We'll make sure it's coordinated with Kevin Guthrie's team in the county. But we'll probably pick a large spot. Initially, insurance carriers will come in. We'll probably have somewhere between 20 and 25 carriers come in. They'll probably set up in RVs, and they will start writing checks initially that will be living expense money. This will be the dollars just to help people go find a place to live, sustenance dollars. Then you'll be signed up where adjusters will come and inspect the damage. Now, here's the most important thing I need you to take away from this conversation. Is the predators that are going to come up, they're going to initially try to sign up construction management contracts, public adjusters. They're going to come in like a bunch of locusts, and they're going to try to hit the neighborhoods, and people are vulnerable right now. They're going to look for a solution, and their solution is always going to be important, but that solution is not going to be knocking on the door every time. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. So please, that first phone call that you're going to make needs to be to either your agent, your carrier, or to my office at 1-877-MY-FLCFO. If one of the first three phone calls you make in your house in order to get insurance claim solved is to one of those threes, there's almost zero chance you can be taken advantage of. But Panama City was my hometown. I lived through Hurricane Michael. We did 12 insurance villages there over a year span. So we're going to be here bringing the carriers back, and they will write checks on site, okay? But when you start complicating the claim because you've allowed predators to get involved with your claim, you're going to drag it out. So the best solution is between you, your carrier, and us. The more people you bring into it, the harder it's going to be to get a settlement that's going to be fair for everybody. And look, at the end of the day, if your carrier doesn't want to work with you, that's when you would call my office and we'll take them to task.
And I think what I've asked Jimmy to do is also, you know, have people with assistance for the National Flood Insurance Program claims. They obviously have their homeowner's policy. Many people have both. But I think the issue is that some people live in areas where they're told you don't need flood, and so they don't do it. Well, now they may be in a situation where that is. So, but bottom line is those who have the flood insurance want them to be able to file those claims. Take pictures of the damage of your home. and have those so that you can present those and so you can get paid quicker. If you took pictures of the water line, if you have 4 feet of water, you took pictures, bring that with you. If the water's gone down but you see where the line was, take pictures and document that so that you can go in, present it, and there's not going to be any questions. But Jimmy made a good point. You know, you start signing up, some of these people will swoop in and they'll want you to sign this stuff. It just hasn't worked out well in the past in Florida. Unfortunately, when you have disasters, there's some people that want to prey on people when they're in vulnerable situations, and we do not want that. The other thing I would also say, just from looking at some of the images that we've seen on TV, there's going to be a lot of automobile insurance claims, potentially. I could tell you, my wife, we lost a car in Irma, and thank God we had USAA, because they literally cut us a check very quickly. So hopefully all the auto insurance are going to be able to do that. But we literally were seeing cars washed away, cars totally submerged, and so we understand that people are going to need to be able to get that claim. But when we did it with Irma, we got the check within like a week. They came out, they did it, they gave us the check, and you know, honestly, it's not like losing a car only is like the worst thing in the world. I mean, we were fine, but I mean, to be able to have that, you know what you have to do. You need to buy a new car, you need to do. So I appreciate what Jimmy's doing. I think it's important to get the carriers in to let people go, you know, make these claims, and let's get these things processed as quickly as possible.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.